I love that little jingle that I made up. It's so cute. It is so cute. Hello. How's everyone doing today? Today is... What's today, honey?
Today is 2017.
It is 2017. It's January 3rd, 2017. The third day of the
it's
year.
It's a Wednesday.
And this year already sucks. I'm just kidding. No, it's actually great. I'm having a great year. This is Lance. This is Anything and Everything podcast, where I talk about anything and everything. Today, talking about movies. Talking about the best movies of last year, as it is the end of... It's already over, 2016. And I saw a bunch of movies this year, me and Coco. I maybe saw a little bit more. I maybe paid attention to a little bit more. How many movies did you see this year, honey? Did you see them all with me? You didn't see the one I saw today.
I didn't see Arrival.
Yeah.
I didn't see Rogue One. I didn't see a couple of them on your top 10 list.
Okay, yeah.
To be honest.
So this is mainly my top 10 list, I guess you could say. And then this is you kind of here. I'm more of a film buff anyway, more than you, so. I enjoy everything about making movies. I have so many like little short film ideas that eventually I will do one day. But I have so many ideas, and I just love the whole art of it. I love... the process it takes, and just when there's really good talent in it, it's like people who are bookworms that love like good authors, it's like it's still storytelling. You're just doing it in a picture. In fact, you're doing it on a grander scale. I think it's a lot harder to make a movie than it is to write a book, just because there's much more work that goes into it, much stuff, and I really enjoy it, so I respect it. But so I saw quite a movies today, and I do this thing where like I don't just go and see any movie. I'm not like an average Joe when it comes to watching movies. Like I'll only go see ones that I know are going to be good, so it's kind of hard to make these lists when you don't see movies that suck, you know. Like I don't like, there's like people who on like YouTube are actually like film critics and stuff and actually like do this for a living, and they actually like they have to sit through a lot of garbage every year, but I don't do that because of those people, so for that I thank you. Okay, so top 10. I guess to preface this, top 10, these are my favorite movies of 2016. These are movies, in order from how my overall enjoyment goes. It, like, one might not actually be, like, a good movie, like as far as how it's made. Like, one might actually be more perfect than the other or something like that, as far as the technical things go, as far as, so you know, maybe visuals. This is mainly like my list of like how much I enjoyed it and how much I think I'm going to rewatch it, how much I desire to rewatch it, and just my overall enjoyment while sitting in the theater. So I got a few honorable mentions. Also, I will say I didn't see every single movie. There's I think 3 movies that I didn't see I wanted to see. Do you remember what they were? One was Moonlight.
Yes.
The other was Silence, and the third one was La La Land. I wanted to see all 3 of them, couldn't afford it, and I just didn't have the time to do it. So, I mean, I had the time. I didn't really get off my butt and do it, and didn't think about it. I didn't think I was gonna make a list or anything like that this year, but
yeah, it was also like, do I want a burrito or do I want
exactly.
And burritos always.
A burrito is like just the tickets alone to a movie theater. It's expensive to go to movies because I have to get popcorn. Today was like the first time I didn't get popcorn while going to a movie theater. It was weird. Oh. Where was I? What was my train of thought here?
You have some honorable mentions.
I wanted to see those 3 movies. That's what I want to say. And I guarantee, just by reviews and just by the stuff that I'm into, those 3 would have made it on my top 10. I don't know where, but they would have made it just from all the things I'm hearing. So sorry to those people. Sorry to myself. It's really me. Not that anyone's actually going to listen to this, but that is just a little preface for anyone who's might have seen those or who is interested in those or whatnot. I did not see them yet. I will, and maybe I'll revise this list on my own personal time and for my own conscience. Okay, so some honorable mentions. Okay, first one. We were watching it at our at Trisha's house, at my sister's house. It's called Kubo and the Two Strings. I didn't technically finish it, but when I was watching it, I loved it. I thought it was really weird and cool.
I got scared.
Yes. Actually, we had to turn it off because the kids were, it was really scary for the kids. It was like some creepy.
The kids and me.
Yeah. It was definitely some creepy imagery, but I was starting to get into it. I thought it was very unique, very interesting, and
yeah, there was a talking monkey. There were floating, like,
yeah,
dolls with hats, yeah. And they didn't have eyeballs.
Even if I had watched it all, I don't think I would have put it on the top 10, but it's definitely going to get an honorable mention for what I did see, and I did like where it was going. Number two was Finding Dory. I liked that movie a lot. It just couldn't crack the top 10. I thought the whole movie in general, like, it was really good, and it started getting, like, kind of ridiculous towards the end, and I was like, and that's, I don't know, that's, it kind of took me out of it a little bit when, like, things, like, impossible things started happening, and I was like, not that any of it was possible in the first place, but, like, when fishes are driving cars and whatnot, I was like, like, I thought it was funny, but it kind of, I just started thinking it was, like, really silly. It was weird, but it was really funny, nonetheless. Another one is, unfortunately, I didn't want to put this one. I really wanted to include it because I enjoyed it a lot. Rogue One, Star Wars. I actually really liked it, and I think people were very disappointed again because people, when they think of Star Wars, they set their expectations like on godly levels, where it's like, because they have such a nostalgic vibe and feel to these movies, where it's like, that's like been their whole life, it's their childhood. They set even the originals on a high level. To where the originals won't even hit their expectations if they were to see him, you know, if they were to have the same expectations and see him now, I don't think they'd actually hit.
Would like that.
Yeah, I don't think they would enjoy it as much. I think I talk trash about it like this one. Oh, maybe not, because I don't know. I just think that people hate on it a lot now because their expectations are just way too high for films to ever meet. But I liked it a lot. I thought the first two acts of the movie were a little slower. They're trying to set up a lot. I don't want to say they were setting up. They were trying to. They didn't really do a good job setting up some characters and stuff. So when things happened to them, you didn't really care about them that much. But overall and all, I really enjoyed it. It had that Star Wars feel to it that I was like, but it also had some other cool things like handheld cameras, which, you know, looked a little shaky, like from like another movie or when they were like on some other planet. Like when we meet the pilot or something like that, and it's a little shaky, and I was like, I noticed it, like thinking that's not a Star Wars movie, and you didn't see this one, so you won't know what I'm talking about. But yeah. It doesn't have like a Star Wars angle to it, like or like a lot of the same shots or something like that. And I liked that because it felt like it did feel a little different, but in the same universe, or like the very opening scene or something like that when like the Empire, like these generals from the Empire come marching through these huge fields, and the sky is really dark gray. I'm like, oh, this just feels like a Star Wars movie. And it was nice to see, like, the reign of the Empire again.
I have a question about
yes.
One. Did they really push the whole,
no, like, spoilers. Sorry.
If you I have something. No idea what the movie is about, okay. To be honest.
Did they?
But it's because the main character was a woman, did they push the feminine thing? Did they push, like, I am a woman?
Not really. I feel like, for the most part, like, Disney does a really good job with that. I don't, like, it is natural. It's, like, kind of, like, that whole political correctness thing where they just try to do it because or whatever. Like,
right.
I would say Ghostbusters is, a perfect example of how that's, like, they're just pushing the agenda.
Okay,
of making,
yeah, because, see, when I first saw that it was, like, the main character was a girl, I kind of did an eye roll because I was just like,
yeah,
I don't want to do this because you're just making a main character that's a girl because all the other girls are going to be, like, butthurt.
Not that it's a bad thing, okay? I think that where Coco's coming from, and it's where I come from, too, is that we're all for girls having lead roles, like, when they're worthy.
Yeah, definitely.
Of it.
They have their place in society.
Yeah.
Do I sound awful?
Yeah, well, not awful. It's just, I'll preface it by saying, like, it's not like we're unequal. That's not what she's saying, or, like, girls are like, or what, like, what she's saying is that, like, to push an agenda just for the sake of pushing an agenda is what we can't stand. And I think that goes with everything, like whatever it is. Like, I don't care if it's a man trying to be in a girl's place or yada, yada, yada. Like, if we're just trying to push agendas, that gets annoying. But I would say what we're saying is, like, yeah, I would say this aspect of, like, the women in Star Wars, Disney's always done a really good job with that kind of, like, very subtle, like, they're doing something a little bit different, because you didn't always have these lead female roles in movies like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And now that we've had two movies with them, your first thought is like, oh man, are they just doing this for the sake of pleasing like the feminists or something like that, which, you know, is a whole topic of itself. But it doesn't feel like that at all, because Felicity Jones was really good. I feel like Daisy Ridley and Felicity Jones were just really good actresses, and they did a really good job. So it really didn't feel like that at all. It doesn't bother me. It only bothers me.
I also didn't watch the movie. So, yeah,
I know.
And I also have no
idea. I kind of had the same thought too, but I think I got over it pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be honest. I definitely did an eye roll when I saw that first trailer.
Yeah, like, needless to say, that's the political correctness in this world that gets us. But that is a totally different podcast for a different time. But I get where you come from, and it was not distracting because she was great.
Okay.
And then the last one is The Hunt for the Wilder People. That one was, we just watched this the other day, and it took me forever to watch it. And I was like, you know what? I hear this is a pretty good movie. I want to watch it. And I was into it. We were cleaning our room, and I was like, I'd stop and like look and watch. It had such a good, like, the way it was like edited together was great. It had like its own little style to it. Yeah. The kid was hilarious. The guy was hilarious. I don't remember their names off the top of my head, but the guy was the Jurassic Park dude.
Ricky.
Well, the actors' names.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. The old guy was the guy from Jurassic Park. He's Dr. Grant. And see, he totally disappeared in that role. I thought it was great. I loved the heck out of it. It was just really fun. It was just a good relationship story. Like, I won't, you know, obviously won't say what happens because it's kind of a spoiler right off the bat, but, events happen and they have to go, and the boy, he's like a troubled boy, and he goes and runs away. Yeah, he ends up in the forest, and the old man goes to go find him, and they decide to go on an adventure. So then, and they're being like chased by like this woman who's like in like the adoptive care like program,
child protective service.
It's not child protective, it's like this program where they try to fit kids with adoptive families and stuff like that. And she so badly wants to be a cop, and she's like trying to act like a cop the whole time.
Yeah, it was just.
I thought she was so funny, because she would get so into it, but then she'd be like, "Child's lives matter," "Orphans lives matter," or whatever. It was so funny, because you kind of forgot like her position had no authoritative thing, and like it's so funny. I loved it. Really fun movie, but just couldn't crack the top 10. All right, so here is the top 10.
Starting with 10.
Top 10. A lot of good movies. There were some more in there that I would have put in the honorable mentions, but I would say those are the ones I was thinking about when I was making the list. But number 10.
10 being the least greatest of the greatest.
Yes, 10 being the least greatest. This is in order from my enjoyment and like what happened to me while I was watching it, what it did to me. So number 10 is Hush. This is, I would consider, one of the more underrated movies of last year. Not all people saw it. If you have Netflix and you've been bugging through Netflix, you'll see it. It looks really creepy. It's got a dude with like a mask on his face, and he's like looking through a window and a beanie. And it's like, what is this movie about? That movie was really good. It's, yeah, just in short, it's basically about a woman who lives out in the middle of nowhere, and she is writing. She's like an author. She's trying to write a book or something like that. And all of a sudden this man comes, and he's starting to wreak havoc and really just start to mess with her. He's kind of like a serial killer type dude, and he's just really psychotic. But so he's trying to mess with her, but it turns out like she's deaf. But and like he realizes that, and he's going to try to really just like, you know, like have his way with this whole situation. But it turns out like with her disability, she's like incredibly adapt to her surroundings, and she just takes this guy on like a friggin' journey, like in this whole thing. Honestly, the movie was so contained, it was all in like one location, and it was so good. I remember after it finished, I was like, I kind of wanted it to keep going a little bit, but overall, through and through, I was pretty satisfied with that movie.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah, cracked my top 10, underrated. Number 2, Blood Father. This was a movie with Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson, he's done two really good things this year, and I'll talk about the other one later. But this one he actually acted in, and I, dude, this movie was so cool. It was, you didn't watch this one. This is one I watched, at home on a boring day. Yeah, and this one, I was telling you about it earlier. It's about a guy who's like an ex-con, and, his daughter is currently like a gang type thing. Like, she's like messed up with the wrong people, like doing robberies and stuff like that. It's kind of like a little gang. And what happens is like she gets in a lot of trouble, and like these people are now after her. So she goes and finds her dad, and his dad and her dad takes her on a journey, and that's Mel Gibson. But the movie was just awesome. Mel Gibson was jacked up. He was hilarious in it. I was laughing a lot, but like at the same time he was acting so good. He's such a good actor. He had a great goatee beard, and he would have these chops of acting where he would like completely lose his mind and like just go crazy or something like that, like on the phone or something like that, and he just like started to get really angry, and you could just see that like he is definitely like still got like his inner demons that he's fighting with. But overall it's just really good, him defending his daughter, and they're both like really broken and really messed up and whatnot, but it's really cool. So Blood Father, if you haven't seen that one, check it out. Two very underrated movies of the year. Number eight here. This one is not underrated. This is Captain America Civil War.
Oh. And I actually forgot this movie.
Because this came year, out in I know. 2016. The next because two movies were like that.
It felt like so long ago. We were still living in Laramie when we watched
that movie. Well, we were living in Laramie. We watched it in Laramie, I think. And then we watched it again.
Yeah, and then here. We watched it again here when we visited in February.
No, it was when we moved. Because we were with our friend. Right. And we'd watched it again. And, man, I love that movie. They did such a good job. Because when I was watching, I was kind of afraid it was going to be like Avengers 2, which, you know, I would say is their... I haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, but that's another one I didn't see. But I heard it was just okay. So it probably wouldn't crack the top 10. Anyway, Avengers 2, I would say, is the worst, but not, it's not bad. It's not a bad movie, but the worst Marvel movie made, aside from like Hulk or something like that. I don't consider Hulk canon, really, in my opinion. But I would say Captain America kind of scared me, because I really thought Captain America was going to be very very messy and very sloppy and just too much going on, but they nailed it. Had Spider-Man in it. I love Spider-Man. I think Tom Holland is the perfect choice for Spider-Man. That movie, start to finish, was perfect in my opinion. I wouldn't change much at all. Honestly, I wouldn't change anything. Maybe that big fight scene I would have put in a different location. Just because when I was watching it, I watched it a few times, the airport was just so boring. It's like, it's so plain and bland, and it's like gray, concrete, white buildings, white planes. It's just kind of boring, but really funny. Awesome. Really like that movie. Everyone's seen it. I don't need to tell you, check it out. Number seven. Number seven. This movie is a really shocker to me. This one surprised me. I was completely taken away by it. It was Deadpool. Almost everyone saw it. It was fantastic. Parents went thinking it was going to be a PG-13 movie when it was rated R.
It was dirty.
And they were like, they go to management asking for their money. I heard stories about this. They went to the management asking for their money back, and they said, like, you should let parents know before they take their kids in that it's gonna be bad. And it was just like, why don't you just look at the R rating that said, like, oh, why don't I'm you look sorry. Up like a
you're the parent that took your child to an R-rated so movie. This is
stupid. But yeah, this movie was so good. And I think because it had a low budget and it knew exactly what it was, very self-aware of what it was. They stuck to the source material, and that was like the comics of Deadpool. And Deadpool is just one of the most, I would say, at least in my opinion, one of the most interesting comic book characters ever. Because he's like, there's no rules that apply to him. He breaks the fourth wall. He could appear in a DC movie and be very self-aware about it, like knowing that he's in the wrong studio or something like that. Because that's just how he is. I mean, he breaks the fourth wall like five times in that movie. Where breaking the fourth wall is essentially like knowing that he's in a movie or something like that. And he looks and and like he's like talking to us specifically as the audience, knowing that we're watching a movie, which is, I think, I love that kind of humor, like that kind of stuff or whatever, when movies do that. But that's what's so cool about Deadpool. He's such an interesting character, so funny, so foul, but I really liked that movie a lot. It was an A-plus movie in my opinion, and it flew under the radar. Yeah, right out of the opening titles, when it was, if anyone's seen the movie, you know the opening titles, and you knew right then and there, this is going to be a freaking good movie, and it was. All right, so my number six, right? Or, gosh, where are we? I needed a number of these. Yeah, my number six. My number six is a very underrated movie. Almost no one saw this one. In fact, it went to the Sundance Film Festival in Utah, and people walked out of this movie. And I thought, that's really stupid. One, if you're going to walk out of a movie, you do not get an opinion on that movie. If you didn't watch it start to finish, you cannot say it sucked. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. You didn't watch the full movie. You don't know if it got better. You walked out. You gave up on it. You gave your view up, okay? It's my opinion. You can say, hey, I walked out on it because the first act was bad. But that doesn't mean the whole movie was bad. Just saying. That's my little rant. But people walked out of it, and I think it's stupid because this was hands down the most original movie I saw all year. It was made by two guys who actually made the music video to Turn Down For What, that classical tune. Turn Down For What. Anyway, it was made by those guys, hilarious people. They made a few short films on Vimeo, and they are so funny. Like, they're so weird, but they're hilarious. I love them. This movie, Swiss Army Man, it has Daniel Radcliffe, who is Harry Potter, for those who don't know. And has, what's his name, Paul Dano. I'm trying to think of a movie he was in. He was in Prisoners. He was in some of those old raunchy comedies. I can't think of any other movies right now. But I like Paul Dano. He's usually good. He sometimes overacts, though, which is kind of annoying. But he was great in this movie. They were both great in this movie. This movie was so weird. What did I say earlier about it? Why they made it? Do you remember? I said that the guys, they made it with this in mind. They said they wanted it to start with farting and to end with farting. With a fart. You haven't seen it, so you wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
No, yeah.
It was so unique. I do not know how to explain it. So I had to watch it a few times just for me to really get what was going on. It's basically about this guy who's marooned on an island, and he's about to kill himself. But right when he's about to do it, he sees a body wash up on shore. He approaches that body, and he eventually realizes that, like, the body is somewhat alive, or, like, the way it starts off is kind of like that the body's able to, he's farting, you know how like when you die and you like your insides like come out, you poop your insides out, you know that what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He like, so the body was like, he kept farting, and like when he's like, oh, what is going, like he thought it was alive at first, he's like, oh, and then he ends up like like using it as like a jet ski because it was farting. What? So it was so weird. I don't, like, if I'm explaining this to you, you'll be like, I'm never going to there near that movie. But like, the whole movie is like about where the body starts to like come alive again, but he's still dead at the same time. And like, he's like teaching the body how to be like things about humanity again, and things about, like, he's just like teaching him like a child, or like through, he's like, I don't know. It gets so weird, and the end of the movie gets even more weird, and it's like, if you're into just really different, completely original, and you're just down for it, like, watch that movie. I thought it was hilarious. The score was beautiful. The score was like something that, like, someone who's very talented with like Logic or something like that, or even if you're talented enough, like with like GarageBand or something, and they just record like noises like ay or something like that, like na na na, and then they like put like beautiful ambient music behind it, and they make it into like a song. It was so artsy, like that, like in that sense. I loved it. It was super cool. It's only made on like $3 million.
Only $3 million.
Yeah, only that is nothing when you're talking about making a movie.
Jeez.
Anyway, if you're into that kind of stuff, watch it. It is not for everyone. I asked, like, for those who are into movies, just to give it a shot for a little bit. If you don't want to finish it, that's fine. Just don't say it sucked or something like that. Just say you weren't into it. But I strongly encourage it. The ending, it's like, it, when you watch it all the way through, you'll be like, what did I watch? And then it'll stick with you. It'll stick with you. Something about it just sticks with you. And anyway, I really loved it. It's very underrated, though, at the same time. So, alrighty. So now we're into the final five here. The top five. And these are movies that I'd say at this point really got me going. Like, they really, like, messed with me. And I watched them a few times. And I loved them. And I talk about them every time I talk about movies this year. What was my favorite? What should I watch? I say, these are the five that I go to all the time. Well, two of them I just saw, but
these are the ones that, like, even I would actually want to go out to buy.
You know what? I think you saw all like five of these. No, you saw all four. You saw four of these five.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, okay. So, number five on this list is 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I don't like this one.
You think it's creepy, but I think you think it's creepy for a good reason, because it was made really well.
Yeah, it was supposed to give me that feeling.
Oh, God.
Which is why I respect it.
This movie was so cool because it came out of left field. No one knew this movie was being made at all whatsoever. No one. It just dropped. One day there's a trailer for it, and everyone's like, what the heck? Like, J.J. Abrams' name on it. And everyone's like, what is going on? So good, so good, so good, so good. It's not like, so it was kind of supposed to be like a sequel to Cloverfield, is like what we all thought. Which it is in its own right, but it's not at the same time. It's really not about Cloverfield at all, which is that handheld, like, alien invasion or whatever monster movie that came out. Well, I don't even know when that came out. That was a good movie. I really liked that. And that's kind of why I was interested in this. So when it came out, I think we didn't actually see that one in theaters.
No. My parents bought it.
Did they buy it?
On the Apple TV, yeah.
I think I told them to buy it. I saw it before they bought it, because I told them to buy it, because it was really good. I don't remember where. Maybe it was like online or something I saw. Anyway, I watched it, and I remember start to finish, I was like so captivated. Most of you probably seen it, heard of it. John Goodman was in it. What's her name? Oh, goodness gracious, I can't remember her name. I don't know. She would, gosh, it's going to bother me what her name was. Basically, it's about three people who are in like a bunker, or like in like some sort of like underground chamber that this guy builds, and they think it's the end of the world, or at least that's what the guy's telling them. And it's just kind of like a drama between all that, and this guy's kind of uneasy, he's a little creepy, some weird things are going on. She doesn't know she's being kidnapped. It's like,
and you can't
yeah, I don't want to say much for anyone who hasn't seen it.
If he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, that's her name. And John Gallagher Jr. He was really good in it too. So that's really like the only three people that are in this movie. And it was so good, man. I'm telling you, like, it was so creepy. It was unnerving. It was so good. And the ending, I would say the ending is what people don't like about it. There was like, if you've seen the movie, there's like a moment where like this line is said. She's like, or it's like something like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Or she's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I think if the movie ended right there, I would have stood up and like clapped and like, yeah, I would have cheered or something like that. Or I would have danced in the bedroom, because it just would have been such a complete movie. They went on a little bit more and kind of showed like something, you know, some things or whatever. And I think people didn't like that, which I liked it because it tied it more into the original, or something, you know, I don't know. People didn't like it. I liked it. I just think it would have been a little bit better if they'd cut it off right then and there, and you didn't know what she had seen or something rather. Mm-hmm. Really good movie nonetheless. If you haven't seen that one, go check it out. These next couple ones are you must go see. All right, so the number four on the list is, we just saw this one yesterday, last night. Mm-hmm. Both loved it. Manchester by the Sea.
Manchester by the Sea.
I've been doing a lot of talking, honey. What'd you think about this movie?
Oh, I really liked it.
Without spoiling.
Kind of putting me on the spot here. I think it was one of those movies where it was a lot of people are going to come out of it not liking it because, mm-hmm. you know, we go to see movies to escape reality for a little bit. And we expect...
Or just to be entertained.
Yeah, to be entertained, to escape reality. And you know, we kind of expect a certain ending. And this movie...
Don't give too much away about it.
No, I'm not going to. This movie kind of did the opposite of that. It was just... It was about this yeah. guy's life, and it was reality. And that's what I liked about it.
It was very real. Like, what's
up? Yeah, and not only that, but just the different shots and the different ways yeah, that they imply different things. And you know, he had... I don't want to give things away, but yeah. there's a
The movie is very,
thing.
Very real. Like, it's about a guy who is just completely and utterly broken. And people around him are, and circumstances bring this man to his old hometown, and he's tormented by this town, and he's really hurt. People there are hurt. Like, it's just really rough. And he develops a relationship with his nephew. And he's hurt too, and you know. So, I mean, that's a little bit of backstory. So, what were you saying in regards to that? Like, a certain scene? You were saying something?
No, it was just he had... Oh, what was the main character's name?
Casey Affleck is the main character who did a freaking awesome job. I think his name is Lee in the movie.
Right,
yeah,
Lee.
Casey Affleck. Ben Affleck's little bro. Best performance of the year. He got my vote for the Oscar. Go.
He has... very important things that are dear to him, and you see him carrying them around and stuff like that, but you never actually see what they are.
Yeah.
And that's what intrigued me, is that you know what they are based on his story, based on the flashbacks that they give you and everything like that, but you never see them, but you just know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about this movie was that it gave you a lot of opportunities to just kind of figure things out on your own.
Yeah, it wasn't... The movie was, like, able to explain things to you, but also understand that, like, you're smart. Like, you can figure things out.
Right.
Which I loved. I hate when movies over-explain.
Yeah, you're sitting through the movie, and they're just spoon-feeding you, like, the story. Mm-hmm. They're spoon-feeding you the information, and I mean, I get it. Like, that's
yep.
what needs to happen sometimes with yeah. different audiences. But, yeah, I just liked how they didn't just spoon feed you information about this guy, but they showed you in very creative and different ways.
Yeah.
They didn't use words half the time.
Yeah, sometimes they didn't.
To explain and to...
Just his facial expressions.
Yeah.
Did a perfect job of like, setting a demeanor for this, like, the scene or something like that. It's yeah. a long movie. I would say if you have to go to the bathroom, if you see it in theaters and you have to go to the bathroom, the movie feels like 3 hours. I think it's only like a 2-hour runtime, but yeah. like, there's so much happens. I liked it. I would say shave off a little bit, maybe a few little scenes, make them a little bit shorter, a few little storylines, make them a little bit shorter, don't drag them out. But other than that, man, like, the movie, okay, I'll say this, the movie is very, very, very sad. Like, if you don't want to be sad, don't watch it, but you will be missing out on a great movie, because it's, I would say, it's the most real movie I saw all year long. It just, oh man, I remember feeling just so uneasy about it, but like, feeling so refreshed that like, someone actually put this on screen. I was like, man, thank mm-hmm. you, thank you, thank you. I love it.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that people have experienced. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not what Lee has gone through in his life are definitely
yeah there are things
that
people have been through, and we tend to forget, like,
definitely
that this
things
happens
that
to people.
I wouldn't want to go through
yeah some
but
of the worst
it
things.
Happens and it just showed a real depiction of
the
you
hurt.
Know how people cope you yeah. know, and how people don't know how to overcome certain
or
things.
Just they don't want to or something, like yeah. it's incredible. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Number
really
four on my list. It would have been higher if it wasn't for a few other these what they did to me. Number three, this is a comedy. This is, so number three is The Nice Guys. Again, pretty underrated movie. It did not make a lot of money in the box office. A lot of people didn't even see it. You didn't even know about it until I showed you. Showed
yeah,
my sister.
I
showed some
idea.
Of my family members. It is so funny. It stars Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. And it's kind of like a buddy cop mystery noir, like noir narration kind of thing. It takes place in the 70s. and it's like two investigators. One's an official private investigator. The other guy's just kind of, he just does some cleaning up work or whatever, and makes people stop following people. He's just kind of, you know, he just, like, if you got a problem with someone, he'll make sure that problem stops or something like that. That's Russell Crowe's character. Ryan Gosling's a PI. It is so funny. Like, just little, oh my gosh. It was definitely the funniest movie of the year, I would say. I would say comedies today are the worst thing. I have a hard time sitting through comedies. They're either too raunchy or they're just too stupid and too lazy. You know, I'm a big fan of visual comedy, which is like Edgar Wright, like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz stuff. Or like Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm. And I think, The Wilderness, Hunting for...
Yeah, that had a lot of visual comedy. People,
yeah, had a lot of that style.
Yeah, that's... So, and yeah, I think that's go watch that movie if you haven't seen it. It's good.
You watch it. What number was that for you?
That was an honorable mention.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. I really it was close. Like that movie.
I know, it was great.
Because of the visual comedy.
Yeah, but The Nice Guys is just really cool as far as the pacing, everything about it. I would honestly call it an A+ movie. It was perfect. Like, I loved every second of it. The comedy was on point. The chemistry between Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling was so good, man. I mean, it's so fun. Like, little things he does, like when he screams, or one of my favorite like lines, without spoiling anything, he's like, he goes, like, he, Russell Crowe takes him through this whole story to have like a lesson behind the story or something, and he's like, so you're saying that there's two sides to the story, is that the point of what you're telling me right now? And he's like, yeah, that's the point. And he's like, okay, why can't you just freaking tell me that? And he's like, you know, you take me through this whole epic, he's like, I mean, you take me through this whole epic journey, you can just tell me there's two sides to every story. It's just like, the comedy is just so funny. I love it. But it's a kind of mystery too. So you really are invested in what the heck they're doing. Yeah,
and you have no idea what.
The oh heck man, it's fun. They're figuring it out.
Like, why are they doing the things that they're doing?
He finds the dead body.
And you don't. And you don't even like know that they're what they're doing and why they're doing it until like the movie's halfway through.
Which is not a bad thing. It's just like
yeah. They keep you watching for sure.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I loved it. I thought it was funny, spunky, it was... Yeah.
And then here, okay, so...
It captured the 90s, the 70s really well. It was, like, filmed like the 70s.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Be reminded that it's in the 70s.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of...
It's like, the whole thing is like they're investigating what happened.
No, I'm not saying about that. I'm just saying, like... If you want to watch this movie,
yeah, for our Christian friends, yeah,
like, don't watch it with your mom. Like, there's a lot of cussing.
Yeah, like, okay. I mean, honestly, for more of our friends who like more mild movies, a lot of these movies may not be the best. Look into it for yourself. Look at like Rotten Tomatoes or look at other things. If you don't really want to, if you want to avoid that kind of content, movies, it doesn't bother me that much. But you know, if you do have a problem with that kind of stuff. Look into these for yourself before you watch them, especially this movie. If you don't watch this movie, it is hilarious. It's awesome. You will not be disappointed from start to finish. You'll really enjoy it.
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't like it a ton, but
well, again, this is my personal favorites of
right,
the
right. I
year.
Know. I understand.
I would say a lot of if you just like going to movies, you will love this movie. Like if you like comedies, comedies today, because there's not hardly any freaking comedies that aren't like dirty. So if you're watching comedies, this is pretty mild compared to some of the other ones, to almost everything. Anyway, awesome movie, go check it out. Number two, this movie gave me a little bit of tear. Manchester by the Sea made me cry a little bit, not too much, but this movie really like shook me to my core. We saw this one together in theaters. It was Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson directing. Mel Gibson is a beast at directing. He's done, Apocalypto. He's done Passion of the Christ. I want to say he did another one. This one was a true story. It's a biopic based on, what's his name? Desmond. Oh my goodness gracious. Desmond Doss, is that what his name is?
Doss, yeah.
Yeah, Desmond Doss. Also, Braveheart, he did Braveheart. But yeah, it's based on Desmond Doss, who was a man who was a conscientious objector. He was a man. He would not carry a weapon. It was against his religious beliefs. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he didn't want to kill anyone. He just wanted to serve in the military as a medic. And the story is the not story. The historical event that happened is that on Hacksaw Ridge, in Okinawa, Desmond Doss had saved, I think they had counted 75 men, like, for sure. Mm-hmm. But people who were there actually said it was more like 100 or something like that. But yeah, we know for sure it was within, like, 75, 77. But people who were there were saying that, you know, it was easily 100 some people. He would save, like, even Japanese soldiers. Anyway, he went to battle, didn't have a weapon, but he saved a lot of people on Hacksaw Ridge in Battle of Okinawa. This movie it's a war movie, but not a war movie. Like, the first half of this movie is basically we learn about Desmond Doss and we learn about his life, and it's like a love story. And then the second half of the movie is like the war itself. Mm-hmm. And this movie was so good. I would say there's problems with this movie. It's not an A plus movie or, you know, whatever. I would say maybe B plus or A minus. There's things about it that aren't necessarily the best or whatever, or like well paid, like technical things that don't matter. But this movie, man, this one shook me to my core. This one, I would say this. I've always had a great deal of respect for people in the military. My grandfather was in the military, I think for the Korean War, and in general, I have a lot of respect for people who fight for us and fight for this country to make it, who ensure our freedoms, you know. So I would say this, after watching this movie, I did not appreciate them enough, because I think Mel Gibson did such a good job of captivating what war was like the horrors of war. This film, it scared me. Like, honestly, I was watching and I could not believe. I felt like a little girl watching this movie. It just completely shook me beyond anything I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of war movies, and this one by far had me crying like a little girl in the middle of the theater. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I would say, like, probably the best war movie I'd ever seen before this was Saving Private Ryan, and that movie was good. It showed you, like, the first opening scene is shows you a good depiction of war and, like, you know, kind of what it looked like, and just really graphic. This, you know, this movie takes it to a whole new level of how graphic it really was and how scared every single person had to have been while fighting, and, like, how do you even function. And I just, honestly, the fact that people did this, it was just incredible to me, and I have so much more respect for military. But that movie was just fantastic, and just great to know who Desmond Doss was. And he ended up winning Medal of Honor, or not winning, but he was granted the Medal of Honor, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think they show that at the end.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they give you, like, the whole real who was he in real life kind of thing. But anyway, that movie's good. I know you liked it a lot.
I really liked it. Not just, I think from an artistic view, too, there were a lot of good shots of war.
Yeah, the battle scenes, right?
Yeah, just different really aerial views that you wouldn't have even thought to.
Just really well filmed. I thought Mel Gibson did such a good job with that whole movie.
Yeah, and you know, with the different war movies that we've seen in the past, you get a lot of that anxiety and, like, that kind of spook of war. But mm-hmm. here you not only get the anxiety and the scary part of war, but you also kind of feel the anxiety that they've felt too. Like, not that you can at all compare your anxiety through this movie to the same as war, but you can kind of get a glimpse of just how fast war is, and how it could become this thing of, like, anxiety,
yeah.
And then you're scared, and then your adrenaline kicks in, and then you're just, like, kicking butt, and then you're dead, you know? Like,
it was all of that compelling.
within a minute.
Yeah.
And it just did
I loved it. Great movie. That's my number two. So then you might ask, what's my number one? My number one is Arrival. You didn't see this one. I just saw this movie today, and I'll tell you what, man, this movie was freaking amazing. I won't give much away. It's basically just about it's like aliens come to this world and they want to attempt to communicate with them. So they take a top-notch linguist, like the best in the world, and she's going to go to attempt to communicate with them. From there, the whole movie is basically a drama. It's not an alien invasion story. It is a drama set around this alien, this extraterrestrial encounter. Such a good movie. I don't even know where to start.
I don't like alien movies,
honestly. Yeah, but honestly, this, like, it's not, like, it's an alien movie, but it's not at the same time. Like, it's like Signs. It was like Signs.
Okay, the only alien movie that I'll actually watch voluntarily is probably Independence Day or Signs.
Yeah, honestly, this was so reminiscent of Signs. Gosh, man, this movie was so good. Oh, man, I need to see it again a few times. There's not much I want to say about it because I don't want to give away a lot, but this movie was just so compelling. It's like I hate saying the word mind blown, but like your mind does get a little bit blown while you're watching it. It was very, like I said, riveting, I guess I use that word, which compelling. Made me think a lot. The overall, like the way it ends, people have a problem with it, which the way some of these movies ends, people have problems with. I feel like they're just, those type of people are not satisfied with anything. But it's the ending satisfied me so much. It kind of makes you rethink about the whole movie after it ends. You're like, oh my God, I got to rethink about that whole thing. I got to watch it. Like, I need to watch it. In fact, I would love to watch it twice and take you because it was so good. Oh man, I for people who don't know me, Signs is like one of my favorite movies ever. Because it's just, I don't want to get into it, but like too much, but like just the characters, the way it's filmed, the perspective of the events, like all that stuff. That's why Signs is my favorite. Like, Signs is basically, again, an alien invasion, but it's from the perspective of one family, and this family is very interesting and is developed really, really well because of the things that happen in their life and the things that it's shown, that are shown to us and that we put together as the audience, and eventually is revealed to us. It's like that. Like, the ending is just like, oh my God. Like, it just fills you with so much, like, oh my gosh. Like, this is, like, happy and sad and, like, oh. Like, I don't want to give anything away. It's just that, it's that good. But, overall, my favorite. It's the same director who did Sicario, which we were watching that today. I hadn't seen that. And it was good. It was all right. I liked it. Like, I was having a hard time with it. But, honestly, it's not something that someone has to, you don't have to enjoy every single, like, if there's a good director, you don't have to like every single movie that they ever made. But Sicario was kind of, you know, so I don't really like that kind of stuff, that those kind of movies anyway. But anyway, he did Prisoners as well. I don't think you ever saw that one. That had Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. It was,
no, I have seen that one.
You did?
I saw it before.
Well, before, yeah. Because I watched it late. I somehow missed that one. That was like a couple years ago. It was like 2014.
I watched that with my dad when I was like still in the old house.
It's like 2014 is when that one
came out. Yeah, it's an older movie.
Or 2013. And
yes, it was a good movie.
Oh, man, that movie's so good. I think it was nominated for an Oscar for Best Cinematography. And Arrival should get the same nomination. Especially the shot when they show the actual ship. And it's like the fog is rolling over the hill. Oh, it's so beautiful. Like, the movie is really slow paced, but every single shot is perfect. It's like a picture, like Visco or something like that. It is just gorgeous movie. I loved it. I didn't want it to end. I wanted it to keep going, and I sat there when it ended, and I just had to bask in it for a minute because it just touched me. It touched me in ways that I've never been touched before. No, it touched me in ways that just that I can think about. Like, I'll go, like, here, like, I've been thinking about it all day, and I'm like, oh man, right when I saw you, I think we got home at the same time. Yeah. As soon as you got out of the car, I was like, babe, we gotta go see this freaking movie again. It was just so good. Anyway, that is my top 10 movies of the year. I really wish I would have seen those other ones. They would have definitely made it on the list. I have no doubt about that. But this movie was good. These movies were good, right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The ones that I watched were good. Although, I would not have put The Nice Guys so far up into the list. In my personal list. I understand this is your personal list.
Most people won't even put it on the list. They won't even see it.
I wouldn't have put it on the list.
Yeah, no. I would... I like it, that movie, as far as comedy goes, because I really don't like comedies. And that one just really... that one really surprised me. So, needless to say, I enjoyed it, and I wanted to keep watching it. So, yeah, top 10 right there. The whole point of this was just for me to talk about it. It doesn't really matter.
See if they were really your top 10.
Yeah, and they might change, you know, over time. That might happen, you know. I might really love Star Wars more and realize that was my number 5 or something. Or I might realize that I didn't like Bloodfather as much as I thought I did or something. I don't know. But for this year, these movies stuck with me through and through. And again, not that anyone's listening to this. I can't imagine anyone wants to listen to a 40-minute podcast about my movies. But if you do, if you like movies and you like podcasts, this is why I do it. It's more so for me, just so I can actually get it out there. So I can spend time with this pretty little girl next to me as she does little fidgety things and knits and stuff. But this is why I do it.
I was knitting that whole time.
She was. It's incredible. Thanks, Grandma, for teaching her how to knit. Because
you're the real
MVP, most valuable player. So yeah, if you guys enjoyed this, thank you so much. Thank you for even entertaining this podcast, for even logging on iTunes just to do this. What do you have to say, honey?
I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah.
Till next time, this is Anything Everything. I'm Lance.
And I am his wife,
Coconut, saying till next time.